You're listening to CBC Radio 1 in British Columbia, 6:47 Pacific Time. Well, the loss of trucking routes and severed supply chains is having a major impact on businesses and livelihoods in the interior. This week on the program, we heard from two farmers in our region. Henry Bremer runs a dairy. Lisa Duick produces chicken and beef.
I would like to see more milk processing in this area. If people demand more local product,
we don't have the kind of volumes to be able to provide food for everybody in an incident like this. But for us, it highlights the need and the importance to support the local food chain.
Henry Bremer and Lisa Duick, both farmers in the interior. Our next guest is trying to do exactly what Henry and Lisa have suggested. Liz Blakeway is the director of the Land to Table Network in the North Okanagan and is on the line with us this morning. Ms. Blakeway, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
As you've watched this all unfold in the last 10 days, what weaknesses in food security has the flooding highlighted for you?
Yeah, well, I think both Henry and Lisa probably highlighted that really well in those previous interviews, but certainly mostly relying on one global food supply chain that needs our highways to function and to be reliable is the main weakness that we've seen. And as Henry pointed out as well, the lack of mid-scale processing infrastructure in the interior is another major weakness in our food system here.
You heard Henry say that this has to come from the consumer, but consumers like convenience and low prices, and that's what the modern food system, with all its flaws, that's what it provides, right? So how much of a barrier is that to creating a sustainable local food system?
Yeah, sure. I don't think we can pin it all on the consumer, absolutely. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to share with the consumer why local food is important, but I think people are getting that now in these times, right? Like Lisa said, they're run off their feet at their farm because people know that she has meat available that they produce and process right there on farm, and folks are seeking that out. So I don't think we can pin it all on the consumer, and I think there's a lot that we can do, and there's a lot of projects that Land to Table is undertaking to get local food out to folks in a number of different ways that doesn't rely on them, you know, accessing food markets or, sorry, farmers markets or having to rock up to the farmer gate to be able to buy it. So, you know, we're working with a number of organizations, including UBC Okanagan and the Good Food Box, to connect our small-scale farmers to different markets and different distribution avenues so that people can access local food in a number of different ways.
Could you tell us a bit more about that project with UBC?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic project that we're really excited about. And maybe I can kind of start from the beginning because that pilot project has really come about in partnership with UBC Okanagan over a number of conversations that have happened over a number of years. So, for example, back in January 2018, we held a forum looking at how we can grow our local food economy in the North Okanagan. And it was at that time that our participants really identified the need to create new markets, so access to larger markets like universities for our small to medium-scale farmers who typically maybe only sell or easily sell through farmers markets. And then in a more recent workshop that we held in March 2020, we brought a group of farmers together to talk about opportunities for aggregating their product, pooling their fruit and vegetables and meat in order to access those larger markets. And at that time, we heard really clearly from our farmers that they needed an institutional or a university champion to incentivize and support the much-needed coordination of aggregation at that scale, so from those smaller farmers. And so those conversations really catalyzed an initial small project at UBCO in June 2020, where we looked at the quantity of food that UBCO was purchasing in a year and created a list of food items that we know could easily be purchased from local small-scale farmers here. And from that, we collaborated with UBCO executive chef, their UBC's culinary director, UBC Food Services, the Institute for Community Engaged Research, to pool some funding and undertake this pilot project. So the goal of the pilot project is really to build relationships of cooperation and trust along what we call a food value chain, so from our farmers and processors and distributors all the way to the university food services and their campus community. And that value chain is different from a supply chain in that, yes, it creates systems that are efficient to get food to the university, but it does so while promoting certain core values like access to fresh food, like farming that stewards the environment and reduces greenhouse gas emissions, and equity in the form of livable wage for our farm workers and a decent livelihood for our farmers. So we're working with a core group to get aggregated product from small-scale farmers to UBCO food services, and it's working really well so far.
And as well as that works, you know, the for 99.95% of the time, you know, the food systems work pretty well. How do you keep this issue alive in the public mind once things, quote unquote, go back to normal in, like, you know, big supermarkets? How do you keep it front and center, do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a couple pieces to that. One, I wonder if we are going back to normal. Like, I think we are going to need to build a local food system that we can rely on in times of disruption. And you know, we're seeing quite a pattern here of disruption over this last year. But the other way to keep it front and center is kind of what I said at the beginning, which is to provide access to our local food in lots of different places. So including those grocery stores, we have access to so much good food, produce specifically, and meat, and obviously dairy, in our region. So why can't our larger scale grocery stores carry more local product? So that's some of the work that we're doing. And then let consumers know in those places that the product they're purchasing is local. And then I think the other thing is that we have some work to do to let folks know the values that are embedded in that local food. Like, you know, you buy local food from a local farmer and that money stays in our community. You buy food from a corporate grocery store and that money leaves our community. So there's a lot of benefits to purchasing local. And there's lots of ways that we can incorporate local in ways that make it accessible to folks who maybe can't necessarily afford it. And we're looking into projects on that as well.
Liz, great to talk to you this morning. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.